Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, hold on. Okay, are you on mute, baby?
Shalom, shalom.
Peace, everybody. Peace. Welcome again to the Sound of Living Waters radio blog. Paul Mazaluski, Brother Paul, here tonight with the Fellowship of the Spirit. And reading tonight for us is Brother Robert Slayton from the Congregation of Long Testimony out in Benton, Illinois. We'd like to welcome him for reading tonight. Brother Jeremy is a senior. And the seniors all went on a trip, but a few of them stayed back. They didn't go, so he went camping for the weekend with the seniors that stayed back in preparation of their part of graduation, since they didn't go on a cruise or wherever they went. So he's not with us tonight. But anyway, before we get too far into tonight, let's take a step back and let's approach our Heavenly Father in prayer and open up. Heavenly Father, great God of Israel, we thank you once again, Lord, for this opportunity to gather. Father, we ask that, as always, you keep your hedge about all your saints. And Father, at the same time, as always, we ask that you open our eyes, open our ears, and at the very least, that you edify us, Lord. Give us what you would have us as we seek today wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of this precept. Father God, for these and all your blessings, as always, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus, and shall be glorified forever. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sisters and brothers, the title of tonight's precept is Back to Business. Back to Business. I had meant to do this last week. I know some of us were coming out of the feast and whatnot, and I meant to do this last week, and as time and chance would have it, I was on the road trying to get some things from storage up north on my way back down south where I'm living now, and it didn't go as planned, and we got caught up an extra night, and I wasn't able to make it last week. So I apologize for that, but this lesson, Back to Business, even in going up last weekend to collect all the rest of my storage and bring it back down here, I was able to go up with two brothers, and I was able to go up to see one of my pastors that fed me when I was young in the Word and that taught me and brought me up in the Word and showed me how to divide this book. And I got caught up with everything that you can get caught up with when you're gathering every day with the feast. You get caught up with the emotions of the praise and the worship and rejoicing before God. And then all of a sudden, sisters and brothers, we're back to the world. the feast ends, our time off from work or whatever the case might be, or your little extended weekend visiting people, the sisters and brothers that you haven't seen in a while, and all of a sudden you're back to the world and it's back to business. And sometimes when it's time to get back to business, it can slap you square between the eyes. So I like to do a lesson like this after the feast days. And again, I apologize for being a little late, but I'm hoping that this will be edifying to all. And the title of this precept is Back to Business, and we're going to start this off in Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Before we start again, I want to welcome Brother Robert, and I want to thank him again for reading. Brother Robert has been on the show before. It's been a little while. I want to thank him again for filling in tonight with reading for Brother Jeremy. I really appreciate this. Matthew, the sixth chapter.
Thank you for having me.
Amen, brother. Matthew 6, and brother, if you'll start this lesson off, let's read Matthew 6 and 33. 6 and 33, brother, whenever you're ready, go ahead.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. This is the first thing that all of us as saints of the Most High God, regardless of everything else around us, this should be our focus in everything that we do, every waking minute. And I talk a lot, sisters and brothers, about walking perfect with a perfect heart before God and what it means to walk perfect. And sisters and brothers, I don't mean to put the illusion out there when I'm teaching that I've got this figured out, because I don't. I'm stammering and stumbling and sometimes crawling, just like everyone. The same trials and tribulations everyone else has, I rest assured I have the same trials and tribulations. I like to say I'm just a beggar leading other beggars to bread. This is the ministry that the Lord has given me, which is no different than any other ministry inside the body. And it comes with its advantages and its disadvantages, with its pros and its cons. The biggest con is that every time I put together a lesson, it beats the smoke out of me, just like when you hear it for the first time, if it's really a lesson that convicts you. The first thing that we all have to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this is a day-by-day walk. And then the Lord says, all things will be added unto us. And that's where faith comes in. But go ahead and continue, brother. One more verse.
Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
This race, sisters and brothers, is day by day. Day by day. Moment by moment sometimes. But this walk is day by day. We don't have tomorrow guaranteed to us. We don't have till the time we get off this broadcast guaranteed to us. I could be sitting here and with 1 minute saying the next word out of my mouth and an airplane engine falls through the roof on top of me. And there's nothing guaranteed in life. Our time, we're going to show you in this lesson, as always. Let's go to Psalm, the 95th chapter. Psalm 95. And let's pick it up, brother, at verse 6. Psalm 95 and verse 6. This is what we got promised to us. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Uh-huh.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, that's the only thing promised to us right now in the moment. The only thing promised to us, nothing else. Right now in this moment, are we of the right spirit doing our very best to be right in the sight of our God? Right now in this moment is the only thing that matters, sisters and brothers. And it's so easy to slip outside this moment. That's why we have to be sober and watch and be vigilant. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto
today,
whom I...
if you, that's good, brother, that's good. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when the fathers tempted him and proved him. Could have been some of my fathers there that I don't know. I'm not physical Israel, but there were strangers. Probably highly undoubtful that a lighter shade of dirt was there, but you don't know, even though it was all a dark race people. It could have been some lighter shade of dirt there. But the point being, 40 years long they grieved God in the wilderness, and he swore that they would not enter into his rest. Into what rest? That first resurrection, sisters and brothers. Let's go look at the battle. Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. It's a day-by-day battle, and we hear his voice daily. Let's go look at what the battle is. Let's go into Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Again, this is one of those lessons. It's a lesson that everybody knows, but it's just a lesson to bring us into remembrance when things get a little too good. It doesn't even have to be a gathering with the saints or whatever. The Lord blesses you. He gives you a little bit of increase. You're out there. You're having a good time within godly parameters, enjoying that increase, and then all of a sudden it's time to get back to work, or it's time to get back into the normal routine of things. Well, then that's when it's time to get back into business. It's a day-by-day thing. Today being the only thing promised to us, and we've got this battle. Ephesians 6, brother, read 10 through 12. 6, 10 through 12. Go ahead, brother.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
So we're putting on this whole armor of God, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil, brother? Go ahead.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's our battle, sisters and brothers. That's the battleground right there. We battle. We don't battle flesh and blood. When our brother or sister does something against us, we're not battling them. They had a momentary lapse of faith, and the spirit that's behind their action or their words is where the battle's at. That's why you don't render evil for evil. You don't get back in somebody's face because you're not battling them. You're battling the spirit behind them. And the only way, as we know, to combat that spirit is to take on the whole armor of God, which is his word. Taking it on his word, learning how to walk according to it, the things that are pleasing in his sight, and doing it. That's, in a nutshell, the whole armor of God. But let's look at this battle a little more. Let's go to 1 Peter, the fifth chapter. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, and brother, let's pick this up in verse 6. 1 Peter 5 and 6, go ahead.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
So that's the battle here. This is the battle again. It's the devil, our adversary. As a roaring lion, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. How's he doing that? He's using spiritual wickedness in high places. It's spiritual wickedness in high places to those that aren't being sober and vigilant or don't even care about God. That spirit of Satan is getting into them, and it's corrupting their thoughts, which corrupts their deeds, which interferes with the walk of the race of the saints. Whether it be through just putting someone in front of you that's just so full of wrath and guile that they get you going, or putting someone in front of you because you're not so learned in the Word of God where they're dangling that false doctrine for you to take a hold of it, giving you just enough truth like he did to Eve in the garden, just enough truth to suck you into the conversation so he could turn around and twist it all around. Just like that one commercial I saw about hackers somewhere on TV where the guy goes, oh, guess what? Oh, you know, this, that, the other. And then he says something. Did you know statistically one out of every three people is hacked or something like that? And then he goes, no, they're not. I just made that up. Man, you're so gullible. Give you just enough truth to twist that lie and suck you in. Like the book says, if it were possible at the appointed time, they could deceive the very elect. But it's not possible because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We know our Messiah's doctrine. We understand the signs. We understand what's going to happen because we've been taught. This is that battle. This is that battle, Satan. And the only way to combat him is by taking that whole armor. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 9, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you.
One more verse.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So you got Satan running around. He's our adversary. He's roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to the saints. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. He's not going after those that are already his. That's why it says resist that fast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are in your brethren around the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after you've suffered a little while, he's going to establish you. He's going to settle you. He's going to make you perfect.
Amen.
So this is the battle. This is the day-by-day battle, sisters and brothers. Let's look at it some more. Let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews 4. Too many brothers, man, they look down the road. There's too many sisters. They look down the road. I've talked to family members. I'm young yet. Hit me when I'm older with that God stuff. I got too much stuff I want to do. Sisters and brothers, your time is now, and this is a day-by-day battle. You don't have time for down the road. You have time for now. This is an urgency. You're sitting in class, and the fire bell rings, and they tell you, get out of the building. The roof is on fire. Oh, yeah, it'll hit me in a little while when I'm done whatever. No, you get up and you go. This is an urgency, this race, sisters and brothers. It's urgent that we get it right. Hebrews 4, brother, pick it up at verse 7. 4 and 7, go ahead.
Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For
and this
Jesus
is today, sisters and brothers. This is today for each and every one of us. Today is every time the Lord blesses you when you wake up in the morning and hear the birds chirping and see the sun coming through your blinds. That's another blessing. Today, this could be your last today, sisters and brothers. Tomorrow's promised to no man. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 8, For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?
Uh-huh.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Go ahead,
for
brother.
For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
Now,
let
if
us
we had
labor.
Entered our rest already, if we're in that rest now, we've ceased from our labor. What this is talking about, sisters and brothers, is enduring until the end. Either our Messiah comes back or you sleep. The Lord lays you down, you die, and he puts you in the ground. That's what this is talking about, sisters and brothers. There's a rest remaining, but we haven't ceased from our labor. We have work that still needs to be done, and it's a day-by-day, sometimes minute-by-minute, moment-by-moment basis. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
And that's what we're laboring for right now. We're laboring for that seventh-day rest, that first resurrection. And our labor doesn't stop until we die or the master returns, and every day could be our last. Don't we want to make that our best? Don't we want that last impression to be the lasting impression that our Messiah sees as he lays us down? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Not, oh, look how I call Brother Paul. Man, I'm laying him down, and look at the wickedness in his heart right now. I don't want to hear. I don't want that being my last impression. My last impression might be the one that puts me over the hump. Because we'll read in a little bit, the righteous are scarcely saved. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That's why that word is our armor. That's why our word is our weapons in this fight, in this battle against spiritual wickedness. That word is what we need to take hold of. That word is what we use for our weapons, for our armor. And without that word, which is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, you have no shot at eternal life. You don't have a shot, not one shot at that tree of life, not one, unless you have no knowledge of the word and you're just so filled with love that you're along to yourself. But anybody that's heard a little bit of this, you don't have a shot without the word of God. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And, brother, when you get there, we're going to have to pick it up a little bit, as I always have to. 1 Corinthians 15, you would think I'd never talked before, because every time I start teaching, I run my mouth too much. Pick it up in verse 30. 15 and 30, brother, go ahead.
And why stand we in jeopardy every hour?
Good question. Go ahead.
I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily.
I die daily. Paul says, I die daily. Look what he's saying here. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. And I'll bet you if they were to stand there and ask Paul, what does that mean? And he'd tell you, man, sometimes it's every minute, sometimes it's every moment. Because this old man has to die constantly. And what are our hearts? Evil continually? We have to guard and lead our hearts. We have to die daily. Go ahead, brother. Finish that, verse 32.
Verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
But now, Paul's making the point now, but if the dead don't rise, what advantage of me? If the dead don't rise at all, let's just eat and drink, and because tomorrow we're just going to die. But Paul's going to expound on this subject somewhere else. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans 6. Because it's absolutely right. If the dead don't rise and our Messiah's not risen, we don't have a shot at salvation. We may as well just, like one of my teachers said, eat, drink, and chase Mary. Because we don't have a shot at salvation. We may as well go have whatever it is that's going to please us, because once we die, it's over. But Paul's going to expound on that here in Romans. Romans 6, let's pick it up at verse 7, brothers, 6 and 7. Go ahead.
For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that
when
Christ
we're dead,
being raised.
We're freed from sin. When we're dead, we're freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, because if we go into water, baptism, it symbolizes that we're dying just like Messiah. The old man's dying. And when we're baptized, that new man has to come up. That new man has to. We believe that we shall also live with him. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9.
Yes, sir.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So just like with Jesus, that's good, brother, verse 11. But just like with Jesus, when he died, when he came back up, he lives under God. It took the death and resurrection of our Messiah to be accepted by our Heavenly Father for the sins of the world. Well, it's the same thing with us. When we come up out of that water, we reckon ourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, or through trying to strive to obtain the perfection of our Messiah. We live unto God, and we die daily. Let's go to James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter. Sisters and brothers, some of you might hear me interjecting and stopping Brother Robert and him continuing. When we're on different phones, it's a little bit different than when Jeremy and I are on the same phone in the same room. It takes him a couple of words to be able to hear me to stop. So it's not Brother Robert. It's just how it's set up with the radio, having two different cell phones, one reading and one teaching. If there's a way around that, I'd love to hear it at the end of this lesson. James 4. And, brother, let's pick it up in verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. Go ahead.
Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But
because we don't
now,
have anything promised to us, sisters and brothers, but today. That's the only thing promised to us. So we don't say, oh, today or tomorrow we're going to go into the city, we're going to go ahead, we're going to stay there for 2 years, work and make all this money, and we're going to go buy a house here, and we're going to run over there, and it's good to make plans for the future. But we don't put all our worth in those plans, because we know that our God has given us one thing and one thing only, today, this moment, to be pleasing in his sight. We don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry about all that. What we should be saying, if the Lord will, we shall live, that we're going to do this or that. If it's the Lord's will, it's like when we're talking, Brother Job and I are talking, or those of you that know Sounds of Living Waters, you've been around a little while, it's always, if it be the Lord's will, we'll see you next week. If it be the Lord's will, I'll talk to you in 2 days. If it be the Lord's will, we'll
Amen.
All be gathered in the same room one day, because we understand that nothing's promised us but today. Let's go to Proverbs, the 27th chapter. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, brother, we're going to read one verse when you get there, verse 1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. When you get there, brother, go ahead.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You got so many things happening against you. The first thing is God. Because if he said that tonight is your time to go, tomorrow morning don't mean nothing to you. Because the dead don't know anything under the sun and partaking nothing of this life. Nothing. So that's the first thing you got going against you. Then you got time and chance. That happens to all of us. Time and chance. You could be sitting here listening to me and a straight bullet come through your window. Time and chance, it's over. Hope that your last thoughts were pleasing to God. Hope that your life up to that point has been pleasing. And anything throughout your day, the day that you died, that you've resisted temptation, and that you died daily for God that day, that you weren't just one of these brothers and sisters that goes to the feast and shows up every once in a while on the Sabbath and says, praise God in Jesus' name, everybody. Because you don't know when your time is. You got to always be ready. Let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12. Brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. 12 and 16, when you get there, brother, go ahead.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to put bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
See, now the Lord is saying a parable here, and he's teaching his disciples, and he's telling them a parable. And he's telling them, don't put all your treasures or don't put all your hope and faith in worldly things. Yeah, it's good to be prepared, I guess, for retirement. I never was. I didn't have a bank account, a savings account. Maybe that was my stupidity. But it's good to have some type of thing going towards your retirement. I put my faith in the Lord, and the Lord came through for me.
Amen.
The Lord's taking care of me. He's got me right where he wants me at every waking moment. He's always got all my needs, not all my wants, but he's got all my needs. And this particular gentleman here, he put all his faith in worldly things. Got that big bank account, had the nice big garage with all the toys. Wasn't enough. Got himself another bank account. Got himself another garage with all the toys and everything. He's all set to do nothing but be a bum all day long. And the Lord said, you're a fool. Because this day is your life required before me. Did you sow any treasures toward me? Did you do anything that I taught that you should do to be pleasing in my eyes to gain entrance into my kingdom? Or did you put all your faith in worldly things? Instead of helping the poor and helping the neighbor that might have been down, you didn't have enough because you were trying to get to the next percentage on your bank account. You were trying to hit the next level of money in the account so the percentage rate would go up higher. You didn't have no time to help nobody. You didn't have no time to give to the poor or nothing. You didn't have time to do nothing but make your treasures greater so you had to build bigger barns. And you didn't sow no treasures toward heaven. Go ahead and continue, brother. Skip down to 31 and continue.
Verse 31, I should say. Verse 31.
Yes, sir.
But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not,
little flock. Seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first, the Lord said in Matthew. And all these treasures you're seeking, it'll be added unto you. But guess what, sisters and brothers? By the time the Lord grants you all this crazy increase, when you truly put all your faith in him, you realize, man, I don't need it anyway. He's got my back, and he's always had my back. Thank you for the increase, Lord. But, man, I didn't even need it. Now that I have it, I can look back and go, you always had my back. And that increase doesn't matter now. Because the realization that he had my back before, and as long as I keep seeking him, he's got my back now, and as long as I continue to endure, he's got my back in the future, and I'm headed toward the tree of life. That's what it's all about, sisters and brothers. Go ahead and finish those, brother.
Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Sell that ye have, and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sow your treasures in righteous things, sisters and brothers. This battle is day to day. It's back to business. You had some fun. You had a great time with the brethren, with the weekend, with whatever. The Lord's given you some increase. You went out and you did some nice things with the family. Whatever case might be, it's always time to sow them treasures in heaven first. always time to sell them treasures in heaven first. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure's in God, you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to do morning meditation. Or you're going to read sometime. You're going to fall into a routine where you're constantly in the Word of God, thinking of the Word of God, praying and meditating on the Word of God, and trying to mimic Christ in your life in everything you do, regardless of the emotions that the Satan puts on your heart. Because that's all emotions are. Emotions are being led the wrong way. They're things that get put in your path that you can't control to knock you off kilter. That's why you have to lead and guard your hearts. Someone dies, it's emotional. But if you lead and guard your heart, you don't get all crazy and stupid. Yeah, you mourn and you grieve, but then you become a pillar and a rock and a light for others. Someone's having a really great time, having something, there's a lot of joy in some event, and you're rejoicing. When you're leading and guarding your heart, you're rejoicing the right way. You don't go into revelry and drunkenness and stupidity. This is a race that we have to run. This is a battle where we always have to be ready, where we have to sow those treasures in heaven. Because it's those where our treasures are, that's where our heart is. And we know from other lessons that we've had in our life that everything starts in the heart. Everything starts in the heart. All your actions and all your words are guided from it. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning.
Let your light shine. Go ahead.
And yourself and you yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately.
Uh-huh.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them.
Sisters and brothers, do you realize what that verse is saying? Do you have any comprehension of what that verse is saying there? That's talking about when you make the kingdom, our Lord is going to gird himself and sit you down to eat, and he's going to serve you. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Because what did he say when he washed the feet at the Passover for the disciples? That you follow my example. Did that mean you have to wash feet every Passover? I don't believe it does. Some brothers like to do it. It's neither here nor there. The example that our Messiah was giving is that he came to serve, not to be served. And look at what this is saying. This is talking about a parable leading into the kingdom. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants.
Uh-huh.
And this know, that if the good man of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not.
Son of Man comes in an hour when you think not. Let's go to Matthew 18. Let's see how we're supposed to be. Let's see how we're supposed to be, what kind of spirit we're supposed to have. Matthew 18, sisters and brothers, think about these scriptures here. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. Let's really let these two verses sink in. This is how we're supposed to approach our God. Matthew 18 and verse 3, brother, go ahead.
And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you don't have any part of the kingdom of God. Become as little children. Look at a little child. They come in crying. They're fighting. One just smacked the other one in the face. Then he pushed that one down, and they're at odds, man. Let that happen with two adults and see where that leads. One's in the grave and one's in jail, all because of false pride. But two little children, they humble themselves. Johnny, what are you doing to Tommy? Tommy pushed me. Johnny hit me. Come here, kids. Come here. That's not the way God would have you be. You need to come on, say you're sorry. Shake hands. You guys are best friends. Go play. I'm sorry. Me too. Okay. Hey, I'll be Tommy this time. You can be Davey or whatever they're playing. No, that's okay. You can be Davey. And that's what they were fighting about 5 minutes ago. And now they're humble. They're caring more about each other. They're quick to forgive. They're quick to let things go. Little children, no matter what they do, when you get them in the right moment and you ask them to do something, yes, Mommy, yes, Daddy, they're humble, they're meek, they're obedient. Yeah, everybody's got their day, and yeah, it's hard sometimes with some children getting them into obedience, but you know what? It's just the way it is. But you got to be as a child. You have to be as a child to enter the kingdom of God. No wrath, no guile, no unforgiveness, no seeking revenge. Like a little child, quick to forgive and just want to be happy, just want to be loved, just want to give and be given. Let's go to John, the 7th chapter. Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. John 7, brother, one verse, verse 6. John 7 and verse 6. Go ahead, brother.
Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
Your time is always ready. Is your heart like a little child right now? Think about it. The Lord said, be as little children. A little child doesn't have a bunch of masks. They don't act like adults here. With this group, they don't put on this face. With this group, they don't put on that face or that personality. Little child is the same every time, everywhere. The same, always. And Jesus says, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Always ready. Every moment could be your time. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew, the 4th chapter. We're going to read one verse. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. One verse, brother. Verse 17. 4 and 17. Go ahead.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's now. Let's go to Revelation, the 1st chapter. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Revelation, the 1st chapter. Revelation 1 and 1 verse, brother, verse 3. Revelation 1 and verse 3. Go ahead.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
For the time is at hand. It means it's now. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans 13. Romans 13. And, brother, we're going to finish this chapter. We're going to start it in verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. 13 and 11. Would you get there, brother? Go ahead.
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Our salvation nearer than we believe. It's nearer than we believe, because now is the time to wake up out of sleep. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife, and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
See, we're putting on the armor of light. We're coming out of those works of darkness. We're not putting any provisions to the flesh. We're not sowing treasures on earth. We're sowing our treasures in heaven. We're walking honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering of wantonness and strife and envying and all that. Because why? Because we understand that our time is now, that the kingdom is now. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I'm picking it up a little bit here. 2 Corinthians 6. And, brother, let's start this off in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. Go ahead.
We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain.
Why is that? Go ahead.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Why is it now? Because it's today and you've heard his voice and you understand what he's saying to you. He's giving you a choice. And you, when you hear his voice that day, don't harden your hearts. When you're convicted and you know something, it's to change your conversation, not to figure out a way to add more scriptures to twist that one to fit your conversation. Let it continue, brother.
Verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions and necessities, in distresses.
In other words,
strife.
Everything that all the persecution and everything else, it doesn't matter. All the personal consequences don't matter. You're going to walk according to what's pleasing in God's eyes, regardless of the personal consequences. Why? Let's go to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Let's look at the end of all things. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter 4. And brother, we're going to pick this up in verse 1. 1 Peter 4. And verse 1, go ahead.
For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer...
That same mind we can find in Ephesians. It's called the armor of God. Go ahead, brother.
That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.
Uh-huh.
For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, the abominable, idolatries.
So this is the way we used to act. We used to act like this. Before we came into the Word, this was all of us in one way, shape, form, or another. Unless we were born and raised in the Word, and even then we had moments of rebellion. So we've all walked according to our own lusts at one time or another. But now, when you start fearing God and keeping his commandments, this happens. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you.
Uh-huh.
Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, spiritually dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh. Because today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The Lord gives you a bit of understanding. You better go ahead and follow through with that bit of understanding, because that leads you to the next bit of understanding, to the next bit of understanding. And when you continuously become obedient, next thing you know, you turn around and you look back and you go, wow, what a wonderful ride. I've been with the Lord on my side all this time. And you continue to grow leaps and bounds. But otherwise, this gospel's preached to you and you're considered dead if you don't respond to it, because you're going to be judged by it. So then he brings us to verse 7. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch in prayer. And above
and
all
Lord
things.
The Lord is saying, but the end of all things is at hand. Peter is teaching, and the Lord is held in heaven, him saying, all this is happening, but the end of all things is at hand. For you, for me. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, because your time is always. Go ahead, brother.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Uh-huh.
Use hospitality one to another with gratitude, without grudging. I'm sorry. Let me read
verse 9. Use hospitality. Go ahead, brother.
Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
So we're
10.
Supposed to have charity among ourselves, because love covers a multitude of sins, and we're supposed to use hospitality one to another without grudging. And we're supposed to be sober and watch unto prayer, because the end of all things is at hand. Skip down to 16 and read through 19, brother.
Okay. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For
uh-huh.
the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
And if the righteous
scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
If the righteous scarcely be saved, you got nothing to hang your hat on. It's just like physical Israel got nothing to hang their hat on. I'm physical Israel. I'm physical Gentile. Nice to meet you. Yeah, you're God's chosen people. Absolutely. But you've been disobedient, scattered throughout all nations. The priesthood was taken from you until the appointed time. But yet the Lord is going to turn around and tell the Gentile the same thing. What do you think you're boasting for? Israel comes in the word, I'm Hebrew Israel. So what? Gentile comes in the word, oh, you no good Hebrew Israelite. You know what, sisters and brothers? You better all get used to guarding that heart and putting that pride away from you. Because the Lord's not dealing with that. The righteous are scarcely saved. All these useless
Amen.
Genealogies and all these garbage disagreements that mean absolutely nothing. Are you fearing God to the best of your ability and keeping his commandments? Is your walk and your conversation pleasing in his sight? End of story. If not, you better find a way to make it.
Amen.
Skip all that. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, you that. All that don't mean nothing. One thing means something. Are you walking to the right side of the standards of this word that's going to judge you? And that's it. Where are you at, brother, and finish that?
I'm at verse 19.
Go ahead.
Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in will and well-doing, as a faithful creator.
So let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Somebody comes at you, they're in the word, they come at you with some garbage that don't mean nothing, don't feed into it. Don't let them take your crown. Let them say their say and move on down the road, because the Lord is watching you. He already knows their heart. He might have let Satan put this brother or sister in front of you to see what your reaction is going to be. Are you going to react with love? Are you going to react with meekness and humility? Or are you going to follow him into the fire? Let's go to Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans 11. We're going to read two verses, brother, and we're going to pick this up at verse 20. This is what we got to be careful for, all of us. Romans 11 and verse 20. Go ahead, brother.
Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith.
He's talking to the Gentiles here. This is the Lord through Paul talking to the Gentiles. Be not high-minded. Go ahead.
But fear.
Be not high-minded, but fear. Hold on, brother.
Amen.
Because of unbelief, physical Israel was broken off. Well, this isn't a Romans 11 lesson, but everybody knows this. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded. In other words, don't have no pride and no glory in that. Because where's our pride and all our glory supposed to be in? That our names are written in the book of life in heaven. That's the only thing we can take some satisfaction in. That we're pleasing in the eyes of God and our names are written in the book. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not Take a look at the book, look at the prophecy, listen to those that are teaching truth. Israel's been scattered throughout all nations, and they're not going back to the land until Messiah returns. And all the curses and all the punishment is on them until that time. Individual Israel can turn back now to the Lord and have some of their burdens relieved, just like any other nation at this time can do it. But we're not supposed to be high-minded. This is a warning to the Gentiles, but this is for all of us, not to be high-minded because we're servants, but fear. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off.
Now, you know
and
what this last verse 22 is saying? That's good, brother. That's the end of that of this chapter. You know what verse 22 is saying? It's saying if you continue and you act like Israel does, I'm going to cut you off just like I did them. Only if you're another nation, I'm not scattering you. I'm just reserving you for the second death. I'm not going to scatter you throughout all nations and all this because this is the time of the Gentiles. But this is the same warning that was given to Israel, verse 22 here. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you're going to get cut off too. Where's room for being filled with pride because you're a servant here, regardless what nation you are? I don't see no room for pride here. Let's go see if there's some here. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Ecclesiastes 7. And we're getting there, sisters and brothers. I know it's a little bit longer than I usually go, but I don't hear anybody complaining, so praise God in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes 7, 1 verse, brother, verse 16. Maybe we'll find some false pride here. Go ahead.
Be not righteous over much. Neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?
Not talking to the Gentiles here. Oh, wait a minute. He's not talking to Israel here either. You know who he's talking to here? Everybody, sisters and brothers. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Be not high-minded. Don't have that pride. That pride's a killer, man. That pride is a killer. What starts fights between a husband and a wife? Oh, she said, oh, he said. No, man, it's pride. It's pride that starts fights. What causes contention between neighbors? Pride. Oh, you said, oh, I told you, oh, you didn't listen to me. Whatever the case is. Who are you looking at? What'd you say about my wife? All pride. Pride. Like the movie Roadhouse. What if they call my mama a whore? Well, is she? No big deal. It's just words. It don't mean nothing. 1 Corinthians 10, pick it up at verse 12, brother. 10 and 12. Go ahead.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Oh, man. Well, I thought I was going to say, let him that thinketh he standeth take pride in himself. Take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest you fall. One more verse, brother.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
So how can you take any pride in this? You got temptations common to all men, and you've suffered temptation enough where the Lord has given you a way to escape it, and you're able to bear it, so now you think you're something special? When there's other men that are probably suffering temptations better and longer than you have been, how are you going to stand before God and say, look what I did, like that one man in the temple, the Pharisee? And you got the other man won't even look up. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. How are you going to do that when there's people walking this walk better and harder and longer than you? If it was all about that, you'd fail miserably. There's always somebody else out there that's bigger, better, badder, stronger, better looking, got more toys, got more money or something. And then the older you get, you start seeing that this body's just wasting away anyway. So what do you got to take any pride in anything for? Everything we have has been given to us. Everything. Let's continue. The biggest thing we got to guard this heart against is pride. But let's continue. Let's go see what the Lord told us. Is somebody asking a question? Okay, just somebody with the mute. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We don't have very much farther to go. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Brother, one verse. This is what the Lord tells each and every one of us to do. Let's take heed to what he's saying. 2 Timothy 4, one verse, verse 5, brother, go ahead.
But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Make full proof of your ministry, watch in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelist doesn't just stand there and teach. Not just a teacher and a preacher. He's in the book. He's reading. He's constantly proving all things. He's out there counseling others that might need it. You can counsel people from across your kitchen table. He's always out there trying to show truth, trying to find ways to make others see the Word of God. Make full proof of your ministry. It might not be a teacher or an evangelist, but the Lord is telling each and every one of us, make full proof of your ministry. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, two verses, brother. Pick it up at verse 10. 119 and verse 10. Go ahead.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
With my whole heart have I sought you, Lord. Let me not wander from your commandments. This is that part of proving my heart, Lord. Help me to stay away from presumptuous sin and all that we dealt with when we were talking about taking a good look at ourselves, right? We're talking about taking a good look and examining ourselves. With my whole heart have I sought you, Lord. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How is that possible? Because when you fill yourself with the Spirit or the Word of God, you are going to be able to take a look around you in all situations and see when trouble is coming. And you're going to be able to stay away from it if you're sober and vigilant. And no matter how sober and vigilant we are, sisters and brothers, if we're honest with ourselves, when we do slip and fall in whatever area that we slip and fall in, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll see it was a momentary lapse of faith where we didn't put Christ first in everything, where we weren't even thinking about him. And that's when we're relying on our own intuition. And that's where the end is death. Let's go to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs 14. You seek the Lord with the whole heart, but there's two things that still happen. Proverbs 14 and 14. Go ahead, brother. One verse.
Verse 4. Where no oxen are.
14 and 14, brother. I'm sorry. 14 and 14. I'm sorry. I did say 4. That was my one bust for this lesson. 14 and 14. Go ahead, bro.
Gotcha. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself.
So the backslider in heart is going to be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied with himself. You know when you're walking straight with the Lord. And when you want to walk perfect before him, if you're not walking perfect before him, he's going to let you know. He's going to let you know. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good man will be satisfied with himself. But there's another thing that happens. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs 24, and we'll read one verse. Proverbs 24, one verse, brother, verse 16. 24 and 16, go ahead.
For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief.
Sisters and brothers, you don't let yourself turn wicked. You know that if a just man is going to fall, or a righteous man, he's going to fall, but he's going to get back up. We're being sober and vigilant because we're back to business now. We understand that we're back into the daily grind. We're back into the world. When you go to the feast, if you happen to have the time to get away, a couple sisters go away for a weekend, or a couple brothers go away for a weekend, and you got that spiritual bonding that happens, especially at a feast, 7 days together, even if you're going back home, but you're gathering every night, it's more than the usual, and you're gathered in Jesus' name, and all this praise and worship's going on. When it's time to get back to business, sisters and brothers, you're going to see you got to get back into this game. You got to get back into this race. It's called life. You got to fill your heart with the right spirit. You got to lead and guard it. You have to, because now it's back to business. Playtime's over. Long weekends or whatever, it's behind us. It's time to get back to work. We're back to business. So what is it that we have to do when we get back to business? Let's go to Mark 13, and then we have one other place after this. Mark the 13th chapter. Mark the 13th chapter. Mark 13. Mark 13, and brother, we're going to read verse 31 through the chapter. Go ahead.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.
He's warning us over and over again, over and over again. He's warning us. Our time is now, in the moment, in the day. This is our time. This is our end right now. This is our today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is it right now. Not tomorrow, not later, not 5 minutes, not after I go to the bathroom, not after the news is over. Our time is right now, sisters and brothers. I can't stress that enough. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 33. Take you heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. That means suddenly he comes and he finds you managed to infiltrate back into the world. Because the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. He went to heaven. He gave authority to his servants. He said, greater things will you do because you're here and I'm leaving. And to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. He commanded us to watch. He told us that our moment was now. He told us our time was at hand. He said, today is your day. And we're supposed to watch. Watch, because we don't know when he's coming back. He doesn't, the Messiah doesn't know when he's coming back. Only our Heavenly Father knows. So the Master, he comes, he might come at evening, he might come at midnight, at the cock crowing in the morning. Don't let him suddenly come and find you sleeping. He told us to watch. He used a physical example when he was in the garden in all the Gospels when he's telling his disciples, why are you sleeping? Watch and pray. He gave us a physical example to show us the spiritual connotation of what it means to watch and pray. Keep yourself righteous at all times. Keep yourself away from sin. When you fall, pick yourself up and get back up and continue to walk. But remember, sisters and brothers, when you get away and you have an opportunity to get your cup filled through your own experiences already, how the world has kicked you in the face when you got back into the groove, start remembering when you have these opportunities to gather with saints and to fill your cup, that when it's time, you got to get back to business. The last place, Luke 21. Luke, the 21st chapter. I'd like to thank Brother Robert once again for reading tonight. It was an honor and a pleasure once again, brother, to bring this message out there.
Thank you for
having me. Luke 21. And, brother, we'll pick it up at verse 33, and we'll just finish the chapter.
Okay. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth.
Now,
watch.
Look what the Lord is saying here now. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. What are you judged by when the Lord returns? Every word that has proceeded out of his mouth, his words are not going to pass away. That's the standard by which we are judged, whether we're righteous at his return or whether we've been wicked. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the cares of this life, of this world. Back to business, sisters and brothers, start guarding that heart again. For as snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to come on everybody if you're not guarding your heart. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 36. Watch you, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Watch
and
you, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Back to business, sisters and brothers. Back to business. You go off, you enjoy yourself for a while. You let your hair down, you get your cup full, start keeping it in the remembrance when that seventh day or that eighth day, when it's done on the spring and fall feast, and if you get the opportunity to gather for Pentecost and you spend a day with a bunch of saints and your cup gets filled, you walk it out the door Monday morning, remember, back to business. So sisters and brothers, it was an honor and a privilege to stand before you tonight, and to rightly divide God's word, and I really hope that somebody got something from this precept.
Hey, Drew, that was awesome, man. That was wonderful. Getting everybody back on stride after the feast days, you know, sometimes we get fat and want to take a week off. Ain't no time to take a week off. You don't have time to take a week off. Like you said, Brother Hayden, our time is always, you know, like the Father put it in our heart, what, Lord willing, we what? Live. Lord willing, we live. Now, we got to be about the Father's business, man. You got to keep your sins at a minimum. I'm not telling you that you're going to be like Christ, but there's only one holy one in Israel, and there's going to be only one Christ. I'm not sowing weakness, and I'm not sowing defeat. I'm just sowing the truth that it's only one holy one in Israel. All of us got a measure. All of us is given a measure. Okay, you're given this measure to perform this. This is your sin. Now, you're not supposed to go past your bounds. This is your measure. This is your sin. Don't do it. Now, my sin ain't Paul. My sin ain't Roberts. My sins ain't Reyes. Well, maybe so. But it is what it is. We got to acknowledge the fact that we have to start ground zero. That's us. The first business at hand is us. That's the first business. Then family, then church, then the world, so to say. And what the Father allowed you to bring with this here to me is the fact that we got to open the doors for the rest of the world. I love the fact, man, that you're the only brother I know that read Romans 11 and warn people, behold the severity and the goodness, behold the goodness and the severity of God. You're the only brother I know read that. I mean, other than the Israelites. And that's hard. That's hard. You know, we like to cherry pick the word, and I thank the Father that you don't. We can tell by the scripts that you use and the scriptures that you. When I read your lessons after you're done, you don't even have to talk. I already know what you're talking about. I know what the Lord is bringing through you. That's how I know it's from God. Those of us that the Lord taught, like you said, do the work of an evangelist. He didn't say sire over the Lord's heritage. He didn't say go, you know, well, if you do, you start a church here, you start a church there, you do this, you do that. That's good. That's a good work. But not everybody's called to do that. Some of us is just evangelists. You know what, Paul? People sleep on Samuel. Samuel was an evangelist. Samuel, every year, walked around the kingdom. Every year. Giving the people the word of God. That's what an evangelist do. He bring the word. That's it. Now, some of them, you know, they set up camps here and there. But that wasn't Samuel's job. Samuel's job was to strictly bring the word. And that's some of our jobs, strictly to bring the word. Your measure isn't my measure. My measure isn't your measure. I'm not going to expect you, Isaiah, Rhea, Bob, Nakomi, Isaiah, Miles, none of y'all. I'm not expecting Sister Mary, none of them to do what the Lord do give me, and I'm not expecting anybody to receive the word or see the word like I do. I don't want that. I want to get it from your table in your place. That's why you got different restaurants in the world. If I don't want hamburgers, I can go and eat fish. You have four prophets for the apostles, for the gospel: Matthew, Luke, and Mark. Mark, let me rephrase that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them had their own insight on what the Father gave them. Nothing less. And they told the truth. Were they out here? The main one out here that was doing the big work probably was Peter. But when I seen Philip, that was an evangelist. He was just ministering to the people. This is that spirit, man. This is the spirit of the business. The end of the world is not. No, we don't know exactly the date. But we can show smell that it's right around the corner. If we get to live our years, Paul, we may just see it. young enough to see this thing. So I am truly blessed to hear this. And thank you for the encouragement and getting back on stride. You know, because sometimes, you know, you need to hear that. And you need to be reminded, man, that your work is just as good as anybody else in this world. You know, just because you drive a Volkswagen don't mean you're no less an individual than that man that's driving a Lamborghini. All of us is on the same mission, and that's to the kingdom. That man with that Lamborghini may be that man that you said, oh, today is your life required. Not here in ICU, and you still out here driving that Volkswagen. All because you kept God first. I appreciate that, man, and I appreciate you reminding us that. I yield the mic on that. Oh, great job reading, Rob.
Great job reading.
Amen. I was gonna miss my man. But he better hurry up back. You nailed it. Good job, brother.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Oh, yes. Any questions or comments, press 1. You know, if you have any questions or comments, you know, we just can't leave the numbers open, the lines open. I should say the lines open now because we're starting to get a lot of background noise. So we're asking everyone to please, you know, be considerate. And if you do have anything that you would like to add or you'd like to bring to this ministry, press 1. If no, then we're going to allow our brother to close us out and wrap out a great, great, great ministry.
Praise God. Sisters and brothers, Sunday night, Fellowship of the Spirit, you're going to get daily walk. You're going to get something on Sunday night that you can use throughout your week. I understand prophecy and everything else, but I just don't see the need for bringing a lot of that from the podium. I do, but the mainstay is the daily walk. Daily walk. Keep yourself straight. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. And with that being said, sisters and brothers, I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you as always. God willing, we will see you next Sunday night. In between now and then, Brother Joe, when he closes out, will tell you when we're back. And I will leave you with this. Grace and peace in Jesus' holy name. Read the book.
Read the book, people. With that being said, we just heard Brother Paul Mazzaluzzi, Fellowship of the Spirit Bible study class. You can catch Brother Paul here every Sunday night at 7:00 p.m. This man will have, and I'm almost certain, as long as I know him, he had a message for me. Hey, as long as I know him, he had a message for me, so I know he'll have one for you. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify somebody. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Times of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.